behind the back, wrap around, and climbing the ladder is Dante Hall.
Sexton. Step back. Good! Patty at three. Oh, he's a flamethrower! What a shot! 6-3 to the win! It's good! It's good! It's good! Colin Sexton made the floater! They'll review it! But oh, mercy! Colin Sexton may have saved the season!
Tigers set to trigger it in. Smart gets it into Watford. Threw it away. He'll run it down to the backcourt. Hugh will take it to the top of the arc. Watford three at the buzzer, blocked by Herb. The putback, no. The buzzer sounds. And Bama hangs on. Oh, my goodness.
Welcome in, everyone, to another episode of the Double Dribble Podcast, your source for all things Alabama basketball. And I am your host, Jordan Harper, head basketball analyst of Tide Illustrated, the Rivals Network. You can find me on Twitter at HarperNation24, and I appreciate every single one of you listening to our latest episode that will cover Alabama's thrashing at the hands of Auburn in Neville Arena tonight. And we'll also preview the road trip to LSU this Saturday coming up, which is a fairly big road game. All road games in the SEC are big, but we'll kind of go over that, look at the SEC landscape once again, and see where everybody's lining up, because you're starting to see some separation a little bit at the top and the bottom, or actually probably in the middle and the bottom. The top is really, really tight in terms of the standings. So let's just hop right into it. Auburn defeats Alabama 99-81, and it really wasn't close past about 18 minutes into the game. Alabama had cut it, I believe, to 1-point lead for Auburn with about, I want to say it's about 3 or 4 minutes left. I'm sorry. I was watching the game, and I was having to do it on the move a little bit. Went to see some high school basketball tonight. So I was kind of following it in and out for the end of the first half, and then got to see most of the second half. But Alabama actually made it a really close game with about 3 or 4 minutes left in the first half, and then Auburn just went on a little run to stretch it out to a 14-point lead in the first half, 55-41. I mean, Auburn did whatever they wanted offensively. They were dominating the paint. Now, they don't shoot the three very well. They didn't shoot it well tonight. I mean, they didn't have to shoot many at all. They shot all their point, got all their points from the free throw line, which we'll kind of cover in a second, and then got a ton in the paint. And we'll kind of dive into these stats here in a second, like we always do. But my overall thoughts on the game, while it was a blowout, just like Tennessee was, you hate to get blown out, but it's tough winning on the road. It's tough winning on the road in hostile environments like it was in Tennessee. And as you know, it is in Auburn. But, I mean, life on the road in conference play is really tough. And this was no different. Auburn came out inspired. They were, I wouldn't say embarrassed from last game against Alabama. They should have probably won that game, and they just kind of let it slip away at the end. And they came all the way back from down 14 and a half that game to even take the lead late in the game. That's something Alabama really didn't do at all. I mean, it wasn't close after halftime. I think it got down to maybe 12 points halfway through the second half, but it wasn't ever close. Alabama never got the consecutive. I mean, they got consecutive defensive stops in terms of Auburn not making a field goal for, I believe, 7 minutes in the second half, but Auburn just kept making free throws. So it really didn't matter. They just weren't coming away with empty possessions for a long period of time. And offensively, Alabama didn't shoot well at all. Pair that with 15 turnovers. It was just a bad game for Alabama. And you can chalk it up to being another game similar to the Tennessee game. And what did Alabama do after that game? They beat Auburn. And they reeled off 3 more straight wins. They won 4 in a row after Tennessee. They lose at Auburn tonight. they have three straight games where they have big chances for wins. At LSU, home against A&M, home against Florida. I could see them winning three more in a row before they travel to Kentucky and Ole Miss. So this is going to be a game on Saturday against LSU. It's like, it's an early game on Saturday. How do they bounce back? Will they bounce back the same as they did and beat Auburn at home like they did against Auburn at home? Or will they lay another egg? I don't know. LSU is going to be, you know, at LSU. So road game, very tough. But Alabama should handle LSU. LSU doesn't play like Auburn, doesn't play like Tennessee. They play a style that Alabama loves to play in. It's why they put 109 points on LSU in Coleman just a week or so ago. But I think you can just chalk this up to Auburn being on, Alabama being off, being at Auburn. There's not much really else to say. We can kind of go over the box score here and kind of see what went wrong. Overall, stat-wise, it was not a good shooting effort from either team. Auburn shot 27-64 for 42%. And Alabama shot 22 of 59 for 37. Alabama actually shot from three okay, a little bit below their average, but 9 of 26, and Auburn shot 5 of 19. Auburn scored 99 points and only made 5 threes. But they made 40 free throws. 40 free throws. They had 50 free throw attempts for the game. 85 free throw combined attempts all game for both teams. That is absurd. Absurd. Now they finished 32 of 45 from inside, 45 from inside the arc. Auburn did. And Alabama finished 13 of 33. 13 of 33. That is 39%, ladies and gentlemen. 39% from two. That's not Alabama basketball. Now, the 9 threes is close to it, but Alabama typically dominates the paint. They made 28 free throws out of 35, so they got their free throws. But when you're getting outshot by 15 free throws and you're minus 12 in the free throw department overall, on the road where you shot below 40% overall, you're not going to win any road games in conference, much less come close to winning. And the 18-point score probably could have been a lot worse if Auburn didn't go on that long stretch of not making field goals. But Alabama only has themselves to blame. Nate Oates said it in his presser after the game. Didn't think they played hard enough. Auburn had about 20 more blue-collar points, he said, that they charred every single game. So it showed that Auburn played really tough. Alabama did not. So, I mean, that's just kind of a look-in-the-mirror type moment. Nate Oates was calling out Mark Sears for his defense. I mean, no one's above effort on defense of getting criticized. And I don't blame Nate for calling him out at all. Nate said in the presser leading up to the game, said they had a little reshuffling of the coaching staff in terms of responsibilities. And Nate Oates said that he is now in control of seeing who plays with most effort on defense. And that's a reason why Nick Pringle was suspended. He just didn't care. He didn't show effort in games, practices. Now, he got in the game today. He didn't show much more effort. So I don't know what's going to happen with him. But apparently Mark Sears didn't show a lot of effort to Nate Oates. I didn't look that closely. I haven't rewatched the game yet to kind of see. But it was an overall effort. It was a bad effort game for Alabama. And you can't have those in rivalry games on the road against a really good team like Auburn and expect. Forced turnovers for Auburn. So they were getting out and running off those turnovers. And that's why there's 22 to 10 points off turnovers and 26 to 8 fast break points. Auburn just beat Alabama the way Alabama typically beats other teams. They got out and run, and they made a lot of points in the paint. There were 63 total or 61 total fouls in this game, which is absurd. Surprised there wasn't any technical fouls. 61 fouls, 85 free throws. I mean, that was just – yes, it was physical ball. But you got to let some stuff go. You have to let it – the flow of the game. You know, you have to let the game have its own flow and not let the officials affect that. I'm kind of diving a little bit into the box score here. Mark Sears led Alabama with 25 points in 37 minutes. He did go 12 of 13 from the free throw line. Had 9 rebounds, 4 assists. Grant Nelson, he ended up fouling out midway through the second half, 16 points. 9 of 12 from the free throw line, had 6 rebounds, 2 blocks. You had Rylan Griffin, who had the largest plus-minus, being like minus 33, I think, the last time I checked, had 14 points. Aaron Estrada had 10 points. And then only 8 points from the bench. Can't have 8 points from the bench. You just can't. Yeah, Jaren Stevenson scored or had 20 minutes played. Didn't make a field goal. Had 3 total points off the free throw line. Nick Pringle played 14 minutes. Went 1 of 7 from the field. 3 points. I mean, he was dreadful to watch. Sam Walters was dreadful to watch in his 7 minutes. He just didn't look like he could put up with the pressure or the physicality of the game. Muhammad McGee, 2 minutes. Davin Cosby, 1 minute. Muhammad Diabate only had 9, but he fouled 4 times in 9 minutes. I mean, you had 4 guys in the starting lineup that had 4 more fouls. 2 of them fouled out, and then you had 2 more on the bench. Sam Walters and Muhammad Diabate have 4. So, bad bench game for Alabama. Just bad game overall. They did score 81 points on a top 10 defense on the road, which, I mean, considering 28 of them came from the free throw line, I guess apples to apples, but you just need a lot better shooting performance from your team. But you can't also let up 50 free throw attempts on that many fouls. Now, looking at Auburn real quick, Jalen Williams had a really good game. He's super underrated in this league, but he had 26 points and 6 rebounds on 8 of 13 shooting. Janiah Broom had a monster game again, 24 points, 7 rebounds, 5 blocks, 2 steals. I mean, he was a monster as always, as you would expect. Chad Baker-Mazzara, 13 points and 20 minutes off the bench. He came up big. Outside of that, nobody scored over 7 points, which Katie Johnson did that. So, really, it was just the inside guys and then Mazzara that did a lot of the scoring for Auburn. But most of it came at the free throw line. You're looking at nearly half their points coming from the free throw line at 40 points. About 40% of their points came from the free throw line. Not much else to take from this game, to be honest. It was just a poor effort game from Alabama. Chalk it up. Auburn had a really good game plan. They were going to pound the paint. They did that. They dominated. They got Alabama in foul trouble. Give credit to them. They played a lot better game than what they did the first matchup in Coleman, which you expected them to do. They're an elite home team. They're 12-0 at home for a reason. They have a top 5 home court advantage in the country for a reason. And they got a big road win last week against Ole Miss, which is the first time that they won a good road game this year. And I believe it was their first quad one win. Now they have 2 beating Alabama at home, which will stay a quad one win throughout the season as well. So both teams are still tied for first in the SEC. Both teams will have a great chance down the stretch to win the SEC regular season title or at least share for it. And both teams have a great chance to finish as a top 4 seed in the tournament. So nothing changes for either team. It helps Auburn, obviously, to win this game, but doesn't change anything for Alabama. They're still going to be first in the SEC. They're still going to be a projected top 4 seed at this point. And, you know, they just have to move on and make sure not to let this happen again against an LSU team that they should definitely beat this upcoming Saturday. So let's kind of look at that game. At LSU on Saturday. So LSU has been struggling. Looking at their last five, they did beat Arkansas by 21 at home. But before that, they lost 109-88 at Bama. They lost at Georgia 68-66. And they lost at home to Texas A&M while sporting a win against Ole Miss. So they've had bookend wins the last five games. But the last time they played Alabama on the road, they got annihilated. Had 109 put on them. LSU is not a good defensive team by any means. They are better than Alabama, statistically, I guess you could say, only allowing 72 points to 75 for Alabama. But LSU cannot guard Alabama. Alabama has superior guards to LSU, and they don't have a big man threat inside. Now, Baker... Will Baker, he ended up scoring, gosh, I need to look up and see how many points. He ended up scoring 25 points on Arkansas at home. And I think he went 7 of 7 from three, if I'm not mistaken. I'm doing it all this on the fly, guys. I do it on the fly every single episode. Yeah, 4 of 5 from three. And you had Mike Williams the third go 4 for 6 from three. They went 12 of 23 overall from three. They shot 54% overall. As a team, 25 of 28 from free throw line against Arkansas. Arkansas is not good, disclaimer, but LSU plays a style that Alabama can get up and down with and score a lot of points against. So I have a lot of confidence in Alabama winning that game at LSU. The one thing they have to watch out for is turnovers. LSU has 9 steals per game, which leads to confidence. And that's one thing that Alabama's going to have to look out for. They did turn it over 12 times against LSU, which is right around their season average. But on the road, that's probably going to be higher just because it's in a different, you know, on a road environment. Now, I don't expect it to be a hostile crowd or anything. You know, they might be since Alabama's ranked, but their crowd against Arkansas looked very bleak for a Saturday game. But I'm imagining they'll show up for a game against a ranked opponent. The ESPN matchup predictor has Alabama winning 81% to 18%. I don't typically go by that, but you know, ESPN analytics isn't bad. So obviously a heavy favorite going in. I'd imagine Alabama will be about a seven to eight point favorite on the road, which is pretty big. It's just going to come down to shot-making ability for Alabama. LSU is going to be able to get their points. They're going to be able to pretty much score at will as well. It's just, will they be able to keep up with Alabama scoring the ball? Because Alabama does average 12 more points a game than LSU does. So it's going to be a up-and-down fest like you saw in Coleman. Alabama has to get better defensively. If they want to make it to the second weekend, they're going to have to get better defensively. They have a bad problem of letting teams kind of run their stuff, run their offense. Like Auburn, they allowed entry passes to Jalen Williams and Janai Broome at ease. I mean, they try to ball pressure. The guards just aren't good at it, and they allow easy entry passes to them and just let them get to their spot. Alabama's going to have to – their players are going to have to figure out who wants it more. Who wants to get to the spot the fastest? Who wants to affect entry passes or the next pass? I mean, make every pass hard. Alabama just allows other teams to kind of get in the flow of their offense, and that can be that's why these road games against Auburn and Tennessee ended up in blowouts, and they just scored at will. I mean, the scores could have been a lot worse than what they were because Alabama can't stop them. I thought Alabama's been playing better defense as of late. They only allowed 76 to Georgia, 67 to Mississippi State, 75 to Auburn a couple weeks ago. And I thought the ball pressure had a lot to do with it, but you just didn't see that kind of effort and intensity tonight. So we'll see if they bring the same intensity that they played with the last time at home against LSU, or if they'll bring the same effort they did against Auburn. I don't think you'll see the same team against Auburn that you'll see on Saturday against LSU. I think you'll see a motivated team that's hungry, that still wants to be first in the SEC. And I think Alabama's going to come out and pull out a win. I could see it by double digits as well. LSU has struggled against Alabama since Nate Oates arrived, whether it's Will Wade or Coach McMahon. It really doesn't matter. Alabama has really owned LSU. I believe they won 8 of their last 10 against LSU. So that's going to be a big game for Alabama. It's going to be a bounce-back one. So it's a game that they can't afford to lose seeding purposes or to stay in the hunt for winning the SEC regular season title. Now, let's look at the landscape here. So you have a three-way tie at the top of the league with Alabama, Auburn, and South Carolina all being 8-2. Now, Tennessee's 7-2, but they had a week off to where they didn't play a game. Every team has that. I think Alabama's is coming up this upcoming week after LSU. They don't play again until Saturday, so they'll have basically a week off. So Tennessee's technically there. They have the same amount of losses. Kentucky is 2 games back of the top three at 6-4, and then you have 2 teams that in Texas A&M and Florida that are 5-4. Let me look here, and I'll get you updated on the scores of the Texas A&M game. Texas A&M ended up beating Missouri tonight 79-60. Mississippi State pulled away from Georgia late to win 75-62, and then Tennessee blew out LSU 88-68. Really no contest there. Tennessee was up by 23 at halftime. So, looking at it, you're going to have Texas A&M, Florida, Ole Miss, all right there with 5 wins, kind of in the middle. Mississippi State, Georgia with 4. And then I think the bottom three is pretty solidified with Arkansas, Vanderbilt, and Missouri will likely go winless, which is insane to think in conference. So to me, it's only a four-team race. Kentucky can get back in it. They have a schedule to where they can. They just have been so inconsistent, losing at home twice now in a week. So I think there's only 4 teams that are going to be in it: Tennessee, Auburn, South Carolina, which is a big surprise, and then Alabama for the SEC title. And the rest are going to be playing for seeding for the Thursday game. So what does this weekend look like? So you're going to have LSU play Tennessee, or not LSU play Tennessee, I'm sorry, I'm looking at today's. You'll have Alabama at LSU, Vanderbilt at South Carolina, so South Carolina should get an easy win there. Auburn at Florida will be a super intriguing game, just because Auburn doesn't play well on the road. They did get the monkey off their back at Ole Miss recently, but can they do it twice against a solid Florida team? I think Florida's better than Ole Miss, so this will be another test for them. Kentucky has a very rare non-SEC game this week with Gonzaga coming into town, which it's not the game that everybody thought it would be, considering Gonzaga is actually kind of bad now and might not make the tournament unless they win their conference championship. But Gonzaga plays Kentucky, so no bearing there in terms of the standings. Georgia at Arkansas, no bearing at all. Tennessee at Texas A&M, intriguing game. And Texas A&M plays a very similar style to Tennessee, so Tennessee tends to have trouble with this game. So can Texas A&M steal a win at home against Tennessee? And then Mississippi State at Missouri, so Mississippi State should get a win there. As bad as they did play on the road, Missouri could pull an upset, but I'm not ready to say that just yet. So you have a chance with Auburn losing on the road to Florida, Tennessee losing on the road to A&M. That could cause some havoc at the top. And if South Carolina can hold serve at home and Alabama win a game they should win at LSU, you could have just 2 teams at the top. South Carolina and Alabama. Who would have thought that going into the season? Incredible. Incredible. The SEC is a, never disappoints in college basketball, and I absolutely love it. So that kind of gets you prepared for this weekend. Again, Alabama lost to Auburn 99-81, and Neville did not. Looking at KenPom, Alabama is still at number 7. They're number 2 in offensive efficiency, 65 in defense. So they fell close to 10 spots, I think 13 spots total before the game. Their tempo keeps going up. They're 15th in adjusted tempo as well. They're 3rd in overall adjusted strength of schedule, 19 in non-conference. So everything's strong across the board for Alabama. And then their net's at 5 right now. I'd imagine they'll flip-flop with Auburn, 5-7. So you have 3 teams in the SEC in the top 8, which is crazy. But I imagine Alabama will fall to probably 6 or 7 in the net and see Tennessee and Auburn move up. Alabama moves to 3-5 in quad 1 wins or quad 1 games, 4-2 in quad 2, and then 9-0 combined quad 3 and quad 4. LSU will be a quad 2 game, so you kind of need to keep that number at 2 in terms of losses for quad 2 to keep your resume and your metrics looking super solid like they are. Well, I appreciate everyone listening to another episode of the Double Dribble Podcast. I appreciate every one of y'all's support and your time, really, of listening to my podcast. I do all this on the fly. I have no notes going into the podcast. I just do it all off the top of the dome because I really want to get the content out there as soon as I can for you, because I know if you're like myself, you like to listen to content as soon as either games go final or you like to have the content pretty quick. So everything that I say is, me thinking of it right now. I could do a lot of preparations, but with 2 kids and then work a full-time job as well, you lose time sometimes, and you just like to do it late at night to where you have the time to yourself. So I appreciate y'all listening to me. It's 10:36 Central Time, February 7th, 2024, episode 59 of the Double Dribble Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jordan Harper. You can find me on Twitter at HarperNation24 or on Tide Illustrated at Rivals Network. I am the head basketball analyst over there. But I appreciate everyone listening to another episode of the Double Dribble Podcast. Until next time, adios.